Hey guys, welcome to the Self-Love Uncensored podcast. I'm Vanessa.
And I'm Amanda. And welcome to today's episode. We are so grateful that you're here.
So exciting.
We are on episode 26 today. Right? I didn't screw that up today.
Okay. No, we're on
episode. We kind of had them backwards last week. So it was like 26, then 25. We didn't know where we were. So
number 26.
That's right.
So good.
We have a fun topic to cover today. But before we get into that, we should probably give a quick shout out to our listeners because we just checked our lifetime listens and our next goal was to hit 1,000 and we are at 838. So we've had, what did you say? 204 in the last 30 days.
Yeah. We've had, this month has been the biggest growth month for sure. It's going.
Yeah. So we've done March, April, May, June, July, August, about 6 months. So we've had a quarter of our listens in the last 30 days of the 6 months. So
which is amazing.
We're on an upward trajectory. So thank you guys for listening and downloading and sharing and all the things. And thank you to PodNods that we just learned about today, which is apparently sending people our way. We didn't even know it existed. So
I know. When I checked, I was like, what the hell is PodNods? And we looked it up and thank you.
Yeah,
awesome. It looks like it's totally a super cool app. Yeah, we'll have to check it out when we get off of our recording. We'll have to look into it and see exactly what it is. But yeah, they're sending people our way. So I think that's awesome. Thank you.
Totally awesome. So today we are going to talk about Vanessa's big, beautiful bald head.
Oh my God.
Right?
Sure. Let's roll with that.
September, the whole month of September, you said is Alopecia Awareness Month, correct?
It is. Yes, it is. So
we are going to talk about alopecia.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just going to sit back and you just rapid fire questions at me if you want to ask me whatever. We'll I don't know what you're going to ask me. So I'm kind of a little bit scared.
I don't know either. And only because, I mean, obviously we've talked about it kind of at length, like Vanessa encounters a lot of people in situations that are not always pleasant and comfortable for her to deal with because of how she looks. But I think she has a really cool perspective and I think she kind of takes it with grace and love and kindness rather than just being like, don't fucking judge me, which is probably what she wants to say some of the time. So I think she's a really good person to have this conversation with.
There's been a couple of times where I've held myself back from wanting to high five someone in the face of the chair. But they're very few and far between, definitely. Yeah. But yeah, it's people are funny creatures sometimes. That's all I can say.
People are just mean sometimes. That's just kind of the way it goes. But
yeah.
Can be. All right. Well, let's dive into it. What is alopecia?
Oh, quick and dirty. I love it. So alopecia is an autoimmune disease. Basically, it's just your body. So if you think about it in a way of like, when you get sick and you have an illness, like we'll call it a common cold, and of course it tries to infect your body and your body sends out this response through your immune system that basically fights it off and kills it. And alopecia is basically your body gets confused and thinks that the hair follicles that you have in your body or on your body aren't supposed to be there. And then they fight them, and which makes your hair fall out. And it has a lot to do with, like, if you wanted to research, it has a lot to do with like inflammation in your body, they say, and all of these different things. And there's so much unknown about it, but when it comes down to it, basically it's just alopecia is a blanket term for unexplained hair loss in humans. It can be women, children, men. A lot of the population struggles with it. Like the stats are staggering if you look at it, but a lot of people, I think in this day and age right now, because we're so obsessed with beauty, they do everything they can to try and hide the fact that they've got, you know, different amounts of hair loss. And so that's my big driver to show up the way that I do in the world, is because I want to show people that it's okay that if you have something different, I mean, we're all different regardless saying that, I'm just like, but just to show up in, you know, my true authentic form, I just hope would show someone else that maybe is dealing with alopecia that it's okay, but also to other people to show up that no matter what difference you have, it's always okay. So,
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. So your body attacks the hair follicles. Why, in your case, does it only attack the hair on your head? Because I can see that you have eyebrows and eyelashes, yes, and we just discussed the chin hair that you have growing. So why?
Thanks for that.
Why? You're welcome. Why does it grow everywhere else? And like, is that how everybody experiences it, or is there different ways of losing?
There is. So there is a plethora of different alopecia diagnosis names, I guess you could call it. So I technically have what's called alopecia totalis. The three most common alopecia diagnoses are alopecia areata, which is like spots, which is what most people start out with areata. And some people, that's the extent of what happens to them, is they just have patches fall out. That's how it started for me. But then mine progressed to totalis, which means that you have, I believe, 80% hair loss on your head. And then if you have all of the hair fall out on your body, then it's alopecia universalis. And that's literally all the hair on your body, eyebrows, eyelashes, nose hair, ear hair, leg hair, arm hair, everything. Now,
yeah,
alopecia is really funny in the way that it is so unpredictable. So what happens with my hair loss may not be the same for somebody else. And so alopecia commonly works in three ways. You can have it where you lose your hair once. So some people might experience some patchy hair loss once, and then it grows back and they never lose their hair again. Some people, like me, it consistently falls out, regrows, falls out, regrows. So like, if you know me in person and you've ever seen me when I haven't kept it under control and shaved it down, you'll notice, yeah, that I do have about 30% hair growth on my head. The other 70% doesn't grow at all, but the 30% that does grow, it continuously grows in, falls out, grows in, falls out. And then some people experience alopecia where they have their hair fall out and it never grows back again. So this is the part of this where the mental aspect of it, like the mental challenge of it, comes in, because people so desperately, as creatures of habit, want to be able to know what's going to happen. And this, yeah, is where I struggled for years, is that I just, as a kid especially, wanted to know what was going to happen. I didn't like the uncertainty of not knowing if my hair was ever going to grow back or not. Right. And I was, yeah, so obsessed with trying to fix the fact that my hair was falling out. And I was, you know, obsessed with wearing wigs. I got addicted to wearing wigs. Like, there's no other nice way to put it. I would not leave my house. My husband, Greg, bless his heart, for the first 10 years of us even being together, I mean, we lived with each other, we had babies together, he saw me twice without a wig on. Twice. I used to sleep in a wig. I used to swim in a wig, like all of it, because I was just so obsessed with trying to grasp that control. And it absolutely ate me alive. Like, it tore, yeah, me apart. My self-esteem was at the lowest it could ever be. And yeah, it was only when I realized that I cannot control this and I need to try and do, you know, focus on something different, that I was able to finally do the work and let it go. But that's the hardest part about this, is yes, our bodies technically aren't functioning maybe at, you know, in a very small way that they're supposed to, but otherwise we're, yeah, completely healthy. Like, there's nothing wrong with us. But it's the mental aspect of it that I think the common population doesn't understand that comes with alopecia, is that mental anguish of you just don't know. And it's not, quote unquote, accepted as beautiful to be a bald, yeah, girl in today's society. Right. So,
yeah,
that's the part of it that I try and show up for other people, is just to show them that it is okay. Right. Like, if you can let go of that need for certainty around the outcome, please do, because there's no certainty when it comes to alopecia. So I think that's the hardest, yeah, part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's probably why self-development work has been so transformational for you too, because you learn, like, one of the things we focus on is you can only control certain things. And those are the things you need to focus on. You can't control the fact that you can't grow hair. It doesn't, mm-hmm, you can't take a pill, you can't take a shot, you can't take anything, no, to make it come back. Not at this point in time anyways, maybe, yeah, it'll be developed in the future, they'll figure it out, but, mm-hmm, control what you can control. And like, yeah, we're all unique. Yeah. We all have things that we struggle with. Unfortunately yours just, yeah, it's not a socially acceptable thing in today's standards, mm-hmm, for, I feel like men and this isn't to discount anybody who might have mm-hmm. alopecia that's a male that might be listening, but I feel like it's probably less burdenous of a journey for a male mm-hmm. than it would be a female, because mm-hmm. there's so much tied to our hair.
Yeah. Well, and even then, like my oldest son had a bout with alopecia a couple of years ago when he was 10, and he lost a lot of the hair on the front of his head, and his has grown back. He hasn't had any issues. But even then, some of the comments that I got from people, like when, you know, I'm very vocal on my social media and stuff about it, and he was wanting to help too. He was wanting to help be part of like the change. And at that time we had these hoodies that said kindness is free on them, and we were doing, you know, fundraisers and stuff with those. And I had people that were commenting on my social media saying like, oh, it's just so much easier for him because he can just shave his head. And that pissed me off. Like you would not believe, because I will never teach my children, I will never teach anybody that they need to do something to alter their body to make it socially acceptable for them to show up in the world. Like, no, he shouldn't, yeah. he shouldn't have to think he can just shave his head to be accepted and it not be a big deal. Why can't he just go to school with patchy hair and it just not be a big deal? Why does, yeah. you know, why does anybody have to do that? Right. So
yeah,
for me, it's like, yeah, I've come a very long way in personal development, has been the catalyst that has helped me change my life. And that's why I'm so passionate about sharing my story. And I'm so passionate about helping people with coaching and stuff, because yes, you may not have hair loss, you may not relate to my story in that way, but a lot of people, even that don't have hair loss, I relate to their struggles. So I just hope that other people could relate to my struggle in the way, you know, that's more universal than just hair loss, and to be able to yeah. say it, you know, it's okay. And you can overcome what you're struggling with. So that's why yeah. I'm super vocal about it. Mm-hmm. We don't need to change who we are to be accepted and show up in the world.
And we can totally all learn from somebody else's struggle with whatever it is that they're struggling mm-hmm. with, right? Like there's a lesson to be learned there. We can't come through one life and learn all the struggles of everything all in the yeah. same life. So
totally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. That leads into a good question, talking about your son having it. So is it genetic?
It's conflicting. I've heard some people say that it is. I've heard some people say that it isn't. The only connection that we could, like, because it's autoimmune, it's, you know, in that plethora of a whole bunch of other autoimmune diseases that are out there. The only link that we have in my family is one of my aunts on my dad's side had quite a few autoimmune issues, such like that. So that's like kind of the only link that we can think of. But yeah. also on my mom's side, if you look at my brother, you look at my uncles, you look at my grandpa on my mom's side, like I look all like I look just like them. They yeah. all have had hair loss issues, like in their early, like their 20s and 30s. My male cousins and uncles on my mom's side had hair loss. So not that it would be alopecia, but just male pattern hair loss, right? So
yeah,
it's so hard to know where the link is, but the fact that, you know, was it a total fluke that I have it and then my son got it? I think that there's definitely a connection there, but being autoimmune, it's so hard to say, right? So I'd like, yeah, it's hard to know. There hasn't been, as far as I know, there hasn't been a link that has definitely said, I think that no matter what you have, you probably have a greater chance of passing it on to children. If you do decide to have children, I think that there probably is a greater chance of them having something, but I think that's universal with most any medical things. Right. So,
Yeah. I wonder, I haven't gone too far down the autoimmune rabbit hole to see if it, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of times people, like I've heard of a lot of alopecians who not only have alopecia, but they might also have psoriasis, or they might also have something like that, right? That's another autoimmune disorder that goes hand in hand. So typically I have heard that if one person, you know, if you have an autoimmune disease, typically you have maybe more than one. I don't know that for fact. Yeah, because you're
already immune suppressed.
Yeah, I don't know that for fact, because I know myself, I don't have any that I know of any other autoimmune diseases or issues. So I can't say that it's guaranteed, but I have heard of other people who have alopecia that have other things going on as well. So I definitely think there might be a link there with your children.
Yeah.
But to be proven, I'm not 100% sure.
Good to know. We kind of covered a few of these already. What would you do if your hair did grow back? If you woke up tomorrow morning and you had long, luscious, what color was your hair?
My hair was brown, like bum length brown. Yeah, actually.
I don't picture you as brown because I think the last wig photo I saw of you was like blonde.
Oh, I should show you the picture. There's a picture right there. I think I was like three of me when I was brunette. Yeah, brunette hair. My eyebrow color is my hair color. My natural hair color.
Okay.
Yeah. Nice. What would I do if I woke up and my hair grew overnight? I'd shave it. I'd shave it. Yeah.
Like if you woke up and it was all like back, not like just starting to grow.
Like if I woke up and I had like the picture perfect head of hair, I'd shave it.
Why?
And I'd cry if I woke up and I saw myself with hair because it's not who I am. Like I would feel. So for years when I would look in the mirror and I'd see myself as the way that I am now without my hair, I used to cry because I felt disconnected from this person and I didn't know who this was, especially when I was a kid and my hair was falling out. I'd cry looking in the mirror, right? Because it was just like this painful reminder that I'm going through something really hard and I had no one who understood and I was very much alone. And I mean, I had my parents and I had some friends and we'll loosely call them friends. You know, and I had family that loved me and stuff, but it's not the same as when you're by yourself going through something. Like they could only offer so much compassion and support when they didn't, you know, experience it themselves. And I remember looking in the mirror when I was a kid and being so disconnected from the reflection that I saw because it wasn't me. I was used to seeing myself with hair. And then all of a sudden there's this person standing in the mirror and she's this ugly version of who I was. And, you know, I'd spent way too much of my childhood crying because of it. And I think that that'd be the exact same reaction that I'd have now. If I woke up in the mirror and I looked and I saw this beautiful head of hair on me, I think I'd cry because it's not who I am. Like I would be so disconnected from that person. And I think I've done enough work on myself, personal development wise, and I've had enough experience in the world as this person of who I am that I wouldn't change this for anything. You couldn't pay me $1 million and say, we can guarantee we'll just give you a pill or we'll give you an injection and grow. You can grow your hair back. We'll give you $1 million. Not a chance because it's so far disconnected from who I am now. And I truly believe everything is a gift. If we can look at it that way, I think that there's blessings in everything. And I think, you know, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, when I lost my hair, I would have never thought that this was ever going to be a gift, but it has been the greatest gift I've ever got once I did the work and I was able to release the guilt and the shame and be able to look at myself as beautiful amongst, you know, society's bullshit standards of what beauty is.
Yeah.
And now I look at it as a springboard and a catalyst for me to be able to help people change their lives. So I think that there'd be a huge disconnect for me if I was to wake up and have a full head of hair. I wouldn't give it an hour. I don't think give it 15 minutes. I think I might brush my hair once just to get like that feeling. Cause I don't remember what it feels like to brush my hair, which is like, I've said that to people and they're like, what? Like, that's really crazy. Like I brush my hair all the time. And I'm like, I don't know what it feels like to brush my hair. I don't remember that feeling. Like I don't remember it. And I think I'd maybe just to reminisce, do that, maybe braid it, have, you know, a little bit of fun with it. And I think within 15 minutes I'd shave it off. And then I donate it to kids with cancer or kids with alopecia.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wigs for kids. I donate it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So
making me feel I know the feels.
you've definitely shared some uncomfortable experiences that you've had with people. And I think that I'm not going to ask you to share anything if you don't want to. I'm not going to talk about anything specific that we've talked about before. However, I think that there's an opportunity here. Well, we have our little platform that we have here to speak on, to maybe let people know how to approach somebody with alopecia or any other sort of visible, I don't know what the word is.
Difference?
Visible, difference or illness or whatever, right? Because like it is it is an illness thing, like it's beyond your control, like how to approach those people appropriately and without assuming things, and from a place of empathy and like wanting to understand rather than thinking that you know what's wrong with somebody. So what would you say to people that see people like you maybe in the world and would like to ask questions but don't wanna, you know,
offend?
Yeah,
to say that I've had interesting relations with people over the way that I look is a very lighthearted way of saying people can sometimes be assholes. Yeah, I think like I'm always open to answering questions. I'm always open to educating. That is my number one thing. I walk around, I look different. I know people are going to stare at me. I get that. I know people are going to ask me questions. I'm totally open to that. Within boundaries, like if you see me having a bad day and whatever, don't come trotting up to me and asking me what kind of cancer I have, you know, like,
hey,
I think that's the biggest misconception is that if you have hair loss, that you're sick. If you have hair loss, you have cancer. If you have hair loss, you're going through chemo. And that's just not the reality, unfortunately, is there are so many reasons why people, especially women, experience hair loss. It can be medication things. It can be alopecia. It can be side effects of a plethora of different things. And I think that when, as a society, we just assume that because somebody has hair loss that they're suffering from cancer. Absolutely not. The biggest thing that drives me crazy is that when people do come up, and I think because cancer is something that's so socially acceptable to be talked about, it's an easy way for somebody to come up and ask, you know, like, what's wrong with you, without saying what's wrong with you. Right. And it opens up the dialogue, but then I understand that, but on a receiving end of that, a lot of the times people will come up and ask if I have cancer, which is a fair question. And you know, of course I say, no, I'm grateful that I don't. I have alopecia. It's an autoimmune disease. And the thing that really drives me bonkers about this is that then they go on to say, oh, thank goodness, you must be so, you know, that's such a relief. And it's like, no. Yes, I'm very grateful I don't have cancer. I have people in my life who have battled cancer. I have people in my life who have died from cancer, who are very special people to me. My dad has fought cancer two different times. And yes, I'm grateful every day to God that, or the universe or whatever you want to call it, that I'm not dealing with cancer. It's something life-threatening, but do not take away everything that I've gone through as a kid and everything that I've gone through to get myself to this place, because don't diminish my experience with being this way just because I don't have cancer. Like you cannot. And that's the thing I think that really people struggle with that have hair loss, is because it's almost easier just to say I have cancer. And then people are like, Oh, that's too bad. Right. And it's like, you get that sympathy. I don't want sympathy. Like, let me make that really, really clear. I don't want sympathy. I don't want any of that, but do not diminish everything that I've gone through. Do not diminish all of the nights spent as a 9-year-old girl crying herself to sleep, wondering why God made her ugly. You know, like, don't diminish all of the taunting and teasing that I went through as a teenager and a young kid that drove me to try and kill myself twice. Don't diminish all of the experiences I've had out in the world with people who have told me that I'm ugly and that, you know, I can fix you with my shampoos and my magic pills and all the things. Don't diminish any of that, because that is the shit. That's what, I mean, you can tell in my voice, that's what fires me up, is nobody deserves to walk out into the world and have somebody come up to them and try and tell them that they have something that can fix them. There's nothing fucking wrong with us.
Or that your problems aren't as bad as somebody else's.
And that's it.
Doesn't matter. Like, it's all relative to our own experience, right?
Exactly. Like, exactly.
That drives me nuts too.
And that's the thing. I think, like, if you want to come up and you want to approach me, absolutely. Right. Like, but read the cues. If I'm smiling at you, absolutely feel free to come up and talk to me. If I'm not in the best mood and maybe have just had a run in with someone or whatever, and I'm kind of scowling, maybe now is not the right time. Right. But always and this is the number one rule that I live by, is live within love. Always approach people with love. If you're genuinely concerned and you're genuinely interested, then go up and say, like, how are you today? Hey, I just wanted to know, because I think you're absolutely stunning and beautiful. Like, I just wanted to know, like, why are you bald? Absolutely. Yeah. Because I have a thing called alopecia. And I will absolutely educate you on it, but please don't use the social acceptable standard of cancer as the springboard to have a conversation with me and then diminish my experiences because I'm not sick. That's where I'm not okay. I will still educate, but I'm not open to having as much of a conversation when it comes off that way. And anything else, any other kind of like rude comments? I mean, I get them weekly. Sometimes I get them daily. Any other rude comments, snickers, stares? I get staring is fine. I usually try and combat that with, if I see someone staring at me, I will directly make eye contact with you and smile so that you know I see
awkward.
You. But then even then, a lot of times people are just looking in your direction and they don't even realize they're looking at you. Yeah. Like I'm not
pretty sure we all get stared at some point.
That's it. I'm not self-absorbed enough to think that like the whole world is looking at me. Like, no, I know most of you aren't, right? I do look different. So I do expect the look and then the look back, like, oh my God, there's a bald girl. Like, I don't know if you're thinking, ew, there's a bald girl. Or I always think to myself, like, oh, they saw me, you know, like maybe they're thinking, holy hot damn, look at that. She is on fire. Look at that girl rocking her hair, like, or her lack of, like, I don't know what people are thinking of me when they do the two back, you know, two look back. And I just like to think that maybe they're just looking at me a second time because they're maybe inspired that I look different and I'm rocking it.
Yeah.
I don't know. So no, I always like to think, I always like to think on the positive side. Right. But if you ever did want to approach somebody, I think always lead with love. Don't ever assume. If you're not sure, just ask. And if they're not open to it, don't take it personally. Some people aren't open to having a conversation about things. You have to respect their boundaries for that.
Yeah.
And if they're uncomfortable, then it's, if they look uncomfortable, just don't, it's really none of your business anyways. But if you come across me on a good day, absolutely come and chat. I'll fill you with some love for sure.
That's awesome. Oh. That was a good little share. Kate, I think let's wrap up with, I'm going to try and challenge you to like a one-liner here.
Oh, shit.
So if you could go back to when you first started losing your hair, what would you tell that you were 9, you said, right?
Yeah, I was 9.
Yeah. What would you tell that 9-year-old girl if you could just give her one piece of advice?
Oh, can I say like 4 different things?
Okay, 4 one-liners.
Oh, if I could tell 9-year-old me one thing, it would just hang on and don't let go. That's it. Hang on and don't let go. It's so hard. I'm going to start to cry. Yeah, because I think that's all I could do at that age was just to hang on. And to hang on to what? I don't even know. Right. Like, and I think I've done that my entire life. Even now, like, oh my God, you're making me cry. Even now, like, that's all I can do is hang on. No matter what trials happen in my life, even if it isn't related to alopecia stuff, I refuse to let go. I think, and even as a teenager, like, in the times when things were really, really, really hard. And especially in the time, like the darkest times, there was just something in me, even when I had nothing, that just kept holding on. And I think that that's the thing that has got me to where I am now, is that I won't give up. I won't, even when things aren't going my way, even when things get really, really hard, I won't let go. I won't give up. I'm bound and determined, come hell or high water, to change the world and make it a different place. And I want women to be able to know my first name and say I made a difference in the world. Right. And so I think that that's what I would tell her, is hang on and don't let go.
I think that's advice that probably everybody out there listening could apply to some point in their life when we face something difficult. Right.
Yeah. Hang on and don't let go.
I didn't mean to make you cry, but
that's okay. It's good. Yeah, you know, something means something to you when it evokes emotions, and we know this, right? So,
oh yeah.
Yeah. It's, yeah. 9-year-old me is, she's the reason why I do all this. When it comes down to it, she's, when, if you ever hear me speak in an event or you ever work with me as a life coach and stuff, you're seeing me, but you're really the healing that comes for the 9-year-old version of me. That little girl is still there. I do everything for her. Absolutely everything for her.
Yeah. We all do. We all live from that place of our childhood traumas and issues and all that, right? So
yeah,
that's a great way to connect with people too. Very authentic way to connect with people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, thank you for sharing about your journey. And
yeah,
if people have more questions, Vanessa would be probably more than happy to answer them. We can answer them on social media or whatever. So if you have questions, hit us up.
Yeah.
You can DM Vanessa on her social media handles, which will all be tagged below.
Yep.
Or you can email us at selfloveuncensored@gmail.com if there's something that you're wondering.
And if you have any, like, if you're interested and you want to know more, I always invite anybody, you know, that's interested just to know more about other people and what other people might be going through is, there's a website, there's actually a foundation called CANAF, which is the Canadian Alopecia Areata Foundation. And they're huge here in the US. And then there's also the sister foundation to them called NAF, which is the National Alopecia Areata Foundation out of the States. And, you can find both of them if you just Google NAAF or CANCAANAF. NAF and CANAF, or just shoot me a message and I'll tell you what they are. But yeah, if you Google or you find CANAF or NAF, they have tons of information on their website. But like when it comes down to it, there's 2% of the population deals with what I deal with. So there's quite a few of us out there. So I just encourage anybody, if they're interested in just doing some research and educating themselves a little bit, and just know that, you know, whoever you see out into the world is, you know, everybody's battling something that they don't always want to share with the world. So just to be really kind with each other out there, because we're all fighting battles nobody else knows about. So
I agree. That's good, a good spot to leave you. Everybody go out there and be kind, right?
Be kind to one another. 100%. Kindness is free. You get to choose how you show up in the world every day. And I choose with every fiber of my being 99.99% of days in kindness and love, because I know the world that didn't give that back to me. So I choose to be the change, and we all get that choice.
You want to see in the world.
Yeah. We get to, I don't always want to be positive and happy, but that's a very conscious decision I make for myself every single day. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's why you're so amazing.
I love you.
Thank you everybody for listening. Please feel free to subscribe. Then you'll get reminded about when new episodes drop. This one will be out on Monday, like all of our episodes. You can find us on Apple Podcasts. You can find us on Spotify. We are on YouTube. And yeah, that's it. I already dropped the email. So if you have questions, email us. And until next time.
Have a wonderful day, friends. Thank you. Bye. Yeah.